Denny Griffin, welcome to CrimeWire, the place for information, news, and most importantly, justice. Our interactive website is www.crimewiresite.com. We won't be taking listener phone calls tonight, but you can ask questions or make comments by going to the live interactive chat room here on Bot Talk Radio. If you are a friend or family member who would like to send CrimeWire information on an unsolved or suspicious death case or have a specific crime-related topic you'd like to have discussed on a future show, please email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. Kim Colton is manning the switchboard for us today. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Denny. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm great, and you were saying that you think spring is arriving in Wisconsin.
Finally. Yes, finally. There is hope. There is hope.
It's been a long winter, I guess. Now, tonight's show is going to be devoted entirely to the Morgan Harrington case. The then 20-year-old Virginia Tech student disappeared from a concert on October 17, 2009. Her body was found about 10 miles from the concert site the following January. Morgan's killer remains unidentified and at large. On February 26, psychic medium Karen Storstein spoke with Morgan's parents, Dan and Jill, on CrimeWire. They will join Karen again tonight to continue looking for answers in this tragic case. Also participating in the show is Karen's daughter, a gifted psychic medium in her own right, Alexandra Alex Dexter. Karen and Alex, welcome to CrimeWire.
Thanks, Denny. And I just wanted to let the listeners know that I've got Alex Skyped in from Australia. And so I may have to, if there's a little echo problem, just let me know, and I can be the interpreter of Alex's insights as well.
I will certainly do that, and I guess we could say we truly tonight have an international show. Now, our listeners are familiar with Karen's background, but before I introduce Dan and Jill, perhaps Alex can tell us a little bit about herself. Alex, do you want to give us a little bit of your background?
And I'm going to just do a little test here. So, Alex, just say a few words, and then we'll see if they can hear it okay.
Hi. I am, well, from Australia. It's the morning here, so it's a different time. But I've been a psychic medium since I was a little kid. And lately I've been working close with my mom, solving different cases. It's something I'm just starting to come out. Right now with my psychic abilities, it's something that I've had, but I've kind of kept under the radar. And now I feel like I have a gift and I want to help people in any way I can.
Did you all hear that?
Yeah.
I could hear it. I was getting an echo, and it was a little tough to understand. How about you, Kim?
Same with me. Some comments in the chat room. Deaf Singer says echoing a lot.
Okay.
And
well,
Kenny said he can barely hear her. Is there
a way
she can call on Skype from where she's at?
Well, she is Skype. She's Skyped into me right now.
Oh, but she can't do that on her own and just call in. Okay.
Well, yeah, I guess actually she could just call in directly to the show. That's true. Yeah, then she would hear. That's a great idea.
Then we would hear her perfectly. So have her hang up and call the 646-478-0982. And I think we'll have it then for sure.
And if there's any issue she can't get through, Alex, if that somehow misfires, then call back to your mom again, and Karen can be the interpreter for us if we have to go that route.
Excellent.
Okay, that's a good idea. And just while she's doing that, I just wanted to say that Alex said that she's been a psychic medium since birth, and she is just coming out of the closet using her abilities, and she's really excited. She's been working with me to solve crimes, and Alex has been right on, which is why I wanted her to be on this call, and that she's using her abilities because she's really interested in helping people. So as she always so that's a little bit about Alex.
Okay, while we're waiting for Alex to ring in, let me bring in Dan and Jill Harrington. Dan and Jill, welcome back to Crime Wire.
Thank you, Danny. We appreciate being asked to come back.
Hi, Danny. This is Jill on the other line. Yeah, we really we're looking forward to speaking with the group and particularly getting more insight from Karen and now Alex.
Yes, and I'm excited. I've my first meeting with Alex was just now with everybody else, so I'm very excited to have her joining us as well. I think what I'll do while we're waiting for Alex to hook back in is why don't I turn it over to you, Karen? I know we had discussed this case again back about a month ago, and there were some unanswered questions. Obviously, there's a lot of unanswered questions about the case overall, but there were some areas we didn't get into, and I believe there have been perhaps you have had more contact with Morgan during that month's time.
Yesterday, and I thought that we would also do some things impromptu, but as I started tuning, one of the things that that we didn't have time to do last time is tune in sort of telepathically to the murderer, and so I that's where I've been spending some of my time, and so I was hoping. I've got some information that sort of validates some of the initial findings and some information that I think is pretty specific that will be really helpful. And then I was thinking that I would, you know, be impromptu with Alex in terms of Jill and Dan with respect to their questions.
Excellent. And I think we should just mention, I didn't do it previously, but I should do it now, that it's our policy that if Karen, and in this case Karen or Alex, come up with any specific information such as a name of a suspect or person of interest or a witness or whatever, or anything they think might place someone in danger or compromise an ongoing police investigation, they will not give that information or that name out over the program. That will be done privately to either the Harringtons and or law enforcement. So just so everybody knows that, if there is something, the actual name or anything that would compromise an investigation or place anyone in physical danger will not be given out live.
And for the Harringtons, I did get some semblance of a name, too. So we can do that off air. And as well as information about a specific location. And that was kind of an interesting one because when I tuned in to the murderer, what I received were was really three areas, including Toys R Us, which I think is really interesting. Actually, four areas with three very specific names, including the name of a drive and like a street name. And when I Googled those, it was wild because all of those names that I heard are located within just a few miles of each other and would be a very good place for this person to be able to sort of hide out while also doing some work. And then when I had asked Alex what she got, she received information that I also Googled just before the show that is also right in that same area. So I don't know if it would be, you know, smart to deliver that on the phone here, but I can certainly, you know, do that. I'd leave that to you.
Okay. Let me just interject here. Karen, I do have the I think I can call Alex and get her on the air in that respect. If you want to email me her phone number, I'll try it because she hasn't come in yet. It's up to you.
I did see Kim a minute ago an odd phone number come in, but then it dropped off right away.
Yeah, well, she is typing on Skype, and she said she can't call international, so that's a problem right now. But I do have her phone number here, so I can...
Okay, well, email it to me, and I'll be able to pick it up on this end.
Okay.
And I'll give it a shot.
Right now.
Thank you.
Thanks for the listening audience for all this.
We just really want Alex on the show, you know, right, Denny?
Absolutely. So,
I mean,
if not, like I say, we'll go back to the original plan, and
right.
Karen can just kind of relay the information that Alex develops. So you were saying, Karen, that you came up with some names and some locations, and your research through Google indicated to you that perhaps these are locations where this individual, the murderer, could have kind of hung out or been, and they're all close to each other. And we were discussing whether or not we want to give anything specific about that out. Was that the question? Do we want to give?
That's right. Yeah, that's the question.
Well, last Dan and Jill, I'll start out with my two cents. A lot of times, you know, this case is certainly getting a lot of publicity. If the killer or someone closely associated to the killer is listening or will listen to an archive of the show, giving out specific locations, even without a name, might tip the killer off that someone's going to be possibly looking into these locations and finding him. So for that reason, I'm not sure whether we should give like specific street addresses or anything like that. Dan and Jill, what do you guys think?
I would agree with that. Maybe the town might be a reasonable thing to give out, but I wouldn't give anything more specific than that.
Yeah, what do you think, Karen? Could we talk maybe in more in generalities, like not a specific address or street address, but maybe the general area?
Yes, and...
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
Go ahead.
What Alex got, she got fishing, and I feel like it's such a small area. Should I say what state it is?
Sure.
Okay, so I get it's in Pennsylvania. That wasn't what I first got, though. I just got these specific locations, which is in a mountain area, state park area, and... there would be plenty of places to hide out there. I feel like the specific area, if I gave that out, it's just too small, where it'd be really easy to find them. And it's a state park in Pennsylvania. And I got Toys R Us, which I thought was just, you know, I always just put down whatever I get. And I was thinking, that'd be an interesting place for someone like him to sort of be spying on people and hanging out, but then being able to go back to where he is and, you know, where he lives. I heard the word igloo, and he's not actually living in an igloo, but there, the name of that resort, there was an, there's another town that is in a sunnier spot, and so it told me that it, it's in a mountainous area where it's cold, and the specific street area that I got, there's kind of an interesting tower right there that that I thought might be associated with his work, and I feel like he's doing some sort of odd kind of. Can I get into the occupation piece? Is that enough information? I can be more specific, but I just don't want to. I don't want to do that.
Let me just interject here for a second. Dan and Jill, your relationship with the investigating police agency or agencies, is it such that you'd be able to, if you talk with Karen off air and get some specific information, including possibly a name, would you be able to get that to someone in a police position?
Yes.
Would you like to do that? I mean, do you think that's the best way to go? I think it's okay to give general information, like possibly an occupation, what this individual might do to earn money. But perhaps we should make sure we get an off-air phone call where you guys, you and Karen, can get the specifics and then hopefully relay that to the appropriate agency.
I think so, too. And, you know, of course, with this work, you know, there's always room for error. But I had a guy call me a while ago looking for a missing person and who couldn't speak English. And I came up with the name of a hotel that was in a different state. And I thought maybe it was a metaphor at the time. It was like the Butterfly Inn. And I thought maybe it was a metaphor, and sure enough, he called me about 10 minutes after a conversation. He had called the hotel, and he found the guy. So that's why I think, gosh, if we're getting some really specific information, I think it would be better to do that part offline.
Definitely.
I agree. I think that's the safest. Like I say, the last thing we want to do is tip somebody off, or maybe they're locatable now, but would disappear or move or that type of thing. So I think keeping it more general is the prudent way to go here. And, you know, as long as but I also think, Dan and Jill and Karen, we should do this follow-up off-air communication quickly.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think we should wait 2 or 3 weeks. I think
there's... No, right after. We can do it today.
Okay,
So I did get information, too, about last time we spoke on air, and I got something about him being in the sprinkler system business. And then when I was talking to him yesterday and asking him what he does, I think, you know, right now he's kind of in hiding, so I think he's taking on some different kinds of things, like maybe carpentry. But I also heard when I was tuning in the words, I'm a rain man, and or something else associated with sprinkler. Hold on, I got to look for my notes here for a second because I want to get the exact words. Rain man, and I heard the words flower garden. And then I started thinking about where Morgan's body was found and thinking about how far that is from, you know, her abduction, and that, you know, how would he know about this place? And I was thinking, okay, well, her body's found on a farm, and, of course, farms have heavy irrigation systems. So I'm feeling like there's an association there with whether he's doing, whether he was doing like small sprinkler system work or possibly irrigation work, that he would know about these different farms. So that might be something to look into in that area.
Karen, let me ask you, if I could, the the concert, of course, was one scene, if you will, scene of a crime, probably the abduction at least. Then we have where the body was found, and now we've got this Pennsylvania connection where this person may be. How close is the Pennsylvania park to where these other events took place? Is it 10 miles, 100, do you know?
It's a drive, quite a drive. Boy, see, and this is why I Google. So, and I looked this up actually. Let me just look that up for 1 second. So let's see. Gosh, I hate to give the wrong information, but it's more than a couple hours.
Let me ask you this to see if I'm making any sense. I'd like Dan and Jill's response also. This concert was undoubtedly, especially in the local area, probably well publicized. I mean, they announce these things well ahead of time and sell tickets, and
right.
Radio stations give away as part of their promo stuff. They give away free tickets and so on. So if I were, say, a drug dealer, I may think it would be a lucrative stop for me. And if I was within, you know, 80 miles or 100 miles or whatever, within a reasonable drive, I don't see any reason that 100 miles would preclude, you know, say, well, would rule them out. Because I think it's well within the range. And if somebody had a target audience, or let's leave drugs aside for a minute and say the person was a sex offense perpetrator. That would also, I mean, there's generally speaking, I think people assume that there's going to be a lot of women at these types of events, you know, and maybe targets of opportunity would be there. So I think it's well, at least in my opinion, well within range for this guy to have gone to this type of event if he was on the lookout either to deal some drugs or something else. Dan and Jill, what do you think? Do you think that distance fits and would make this person a possibility?
Well, Charlottesville is probably from the Pennsylvania line, probably at least 3.5 to 4 hours from up to the line. But it's not unusual with – this was a Metallica concert, and people come from, you know, from many, many states, you know, to go to these kinds of concerts. You know, so it is possible that someone could have traveled, you know, a long distance.
Okay.
And these sexual predators, you know, they have a range like a predator does, and they sometimes go a little farther afield because maybe things are getting scarce or hot or difficult closer to home. Yeah, I think it's possible.
Right. That's definitely the feeling that I had was, you know, he would definitely. When I tuned into him, he feels, let me get the exact words, I'm dead in the water, which is good because he's afraid. I feel like he's definitely been trying to clean up his tracks. But, yeah, I really got that he is not. In Virginia, he's not now, but interestingly, one of the listeners on the radio, I feel that I mean this person has been on many occasions. He's been right in Virginia, not as of late though.
Okay,
I could tune in. We could tune in to see if he. At the time of Morgan's death, if he actually lived in the area and then moved. One of the things that I just remembered that Morgan said was when I also asked what his occupation is, Morgan said, cynically, she said shock therapy, and then she said he stops at the gas station a lot. So that says to me that he stops at gas stations, yes. So he's definitely on, you know, kind of on the run.
Before we move on, I just want to go back for a second to something Karen said about there's always in these types of, I'm going to call it an investigation, a psychic investigation, there's always room for error, and certainly that applies to psychic investigation or the more traditional investigation. But the way I look at it is that any information that Karen and Alex are able to come up with should be considered leads, like any other lead. Worthy of investigation, the proper authority should take it, take the information and investigate it, find out if it's valid or not valid, whatever. But, yeah, I don't, you know, nobody, I've never heard a cop guarantee their investigation. There's sometimes information or leads look good, they don't pan out, and so on and so forth. So I look at the information. I think it should be considered as a lead or as leads if we got multiple multiple data, and go with it from there. Karen, is that an appropriate?
Yes, and you know, again, a lot of times it's right on. Sometimes I'll get information in the form of a metaphor. So, you know, like, for example, Rain Man. Well, you know, is that a metaphor? Or, well, it's obviously a metaphor, but, you know, what is it a metaphor for? So, but sometimes I'll think of something that's a metaphor and it's actually literal. So, so for you know, people who are listening, keep an open mind.
So far now, let's just recap where we're at so far. We think, or you and Alex believe, this individual is in Pennsylvania, is somehow involved, or at least was involved with possibly water systems, could be an irrigation system on a farm or that type of thing. Rain or water is mentioned fairly frequently. And I'm wondering, you said that he could be doing something else now, trying to cover his tracks, such as carpentry. So this person could be more of a handyman type, right? I mean, kind of be able to do a little bit of everything, possibly.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. I mean, I don't get like this guy having a, you know, major career or anything, but yeah, more handyman. Mm-hmm.
I just want to interject here and just add some things from the folks in the chat room. Deaf Singer asked, or her comment was, Toys R Us. Maybe he's also a pedophile or previously molested as a child. She also asked, how close is Penn to New Jersey area? And Amanda St. Clair, she said, she's right on the money on this one, 338 miles, which is 5 hours and 33 minutes, and that is from Anchorage Farm. So we've got 5 hours and 33 minutes, depending on where you are.
And when she said that, I'm getting a big chill on that, which is always my validation. Mm-hmm. When I looked at the map, there's like one main road up there, so I thought that would be you know, a direct route.
Mm-hmm.
Would allow for hiding, but also allow the ability to work. So it looks like there's some money up there. So, And then the one about the thought about the pedophile. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He goes for young people, and you know what we were saying before, Denny, and I think I had said this too before, that, you know, being outside of a concert would be a great place to go find kids and to sell drugs. I also feel when I tuned in that it's sort of like, like I said, you know, are you looking to kill someone anytime soon? And which I know my question sounds so crazy, doesn't it? I can't even believe I said that. But he said that he, you know, it's sort of like rape any time, you know, and he sees women or girls as playthings. You know, the listener is absolutely right. You know, when people do this kind of thing, the first thing that I look at is what was their relationship like with their parents and the kind of abuse, particularly with the mother figure. I did not get him because he's in hiding and he's afraid right now. I don't get him trying to draw any more attention in terms of a murder. But and my daughter's writing something right now, so I hope I can receive it. What I did hear, and this really was super disturbing. Oh, Alex said, yes, he was abused. In terms of his latest victim, I do get that there was a rape, and I'm here. And then I heard, let me get the exact words. It was so, I used her body as firewood. Really disturbing, isn't it? You know,
yes.
The other person who I believe is involved in this, and my daughter also picked up that someone else was involved with it, I get that he absolutely will not come forward, and Morgan said that, and I got that he was involved with a forestry project. He is involved with a forestry project. He's making good money. I'm hearing like kingpin, and I'm getting a very close relationship between the this other person who was involved and the killer. It's like they consider each other brothers.
Would the forestry project kind of match up with this guy being in this park area?
Okay, the state park.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me tune into that. I don't get them in the same location. I feel like the killer, you know, really is on the run and he left. I think that the other person may still be in Virginia.
Okay, did you or Alex get an age on this individual, on either of the individuals?
Let me do that right now. I haven't tuned into that. I get like 36. Let me see. Yeah. So the age, I get like 36 from the killer. But, you know, one of the things is he looks younger. Sorry, I'm typing to my daughter right now. The other thing that I got last time that I did not say on the air, I overlooked it, and this could be a metaphor, but Morgan said he had blemishes all over his face. And again, that could be metaphorical. Yep, and Alex is also getting that he's in his mid-30s.
And if he looked younger, he could fit in with a concert crowd.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you bring up the forestry piece, because others who have tried to help us before have actually mentioned the same thing. Not forestry in another state, but forestry in the Charlottesville area.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yes. Well, yeah, there you go. And I could try to tune in offline on that other person's name, too. I have gotten names before that are correct. So I'll do that. What other questions do you have?
I mean, I think there are so many. Some you don't actually want to know the answers to. Probably the one that comes to mind with most immediacy is, will we ever find him? I mean, will we come to an end of this, you know, relentless search?
Okay. Let's see. I feel like, you know, you're really getting close, and Alex just wrote that yes, because he's going to strike again and he'll be caught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this whole thing about raping women and molesting and all that, it's like a way of life. I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting because when I asked, well, you know, are you planning on a murder soon? It was sort of like, no, that's too much. There's too much heat on me. There would be too much visibility, but sort of like it's an everyday thing to hang out at a Toys R Us and find a woman to rape. So, and having said that, Jill, you know, and I believe I mentioned this last time too, that Morgan also wants you all to do what gives you the most joy, because she's always reminding me that that's what you're here on planet Earth to do, is to be joyful and live. And so I think it's that you know, balance for you guys with respect to taking care of yourself, and I know that one of the ways you're doing that is to find and track this man down, and at the same time, and I know you're super tenacious about it, and at the same time, you know, the feeling that I get from Morgan on the other side, which is a totally different way of viewing the universe, is that justice has already been done. It's just a matter, because, and one of the things that I had heard when I tuned into the murderer was that he feels like he's already imprisoned.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, good.
And obviously we don't want him out hurting anybody else. So, but I guess what I'm saying is it seems like you've got a lot of help and support on this too. So, you know, I think her main message is, you know, she really wants you to be happy and know that she's in a good place, which I know she is. She's more concerned with you two.
I have a question. Before Morgan was taken from the bridge, were there any events that occurred just prior to that event that would have been that would have involved other people, not the people who took Morgan?
Okay.
Was there a time that Morgan was hurt by someone else or a group of people?
Okay. I just want to type that to my daughter. Maybe she's hearing that. Okay, so let me tune in and see what I get. You know, I feel like she was hurt, but I feel like she did it like it was an accident.
Okay.
And I don't know if there was like a fence involved or something like that, like hitting herself, something on her face, and know if it's like a fence or something. It's almost like something. Okay, Alex is writing gash, cut on her chin, and it almost is like something that you, if you thought about it, like a barbed wire fence or something. Like, but I, gosh, I'm not getting anyone else doing it.
Okay.
Karen?
What other questions? Alex is still writing, and she's got more on that. Alex got an accident too.
Yeah. We have some concerns that there was a molestation assault there in the field prior to her being abducted from the bridge. That kind of makes sense to us, but wanted to wonder what you guys were picking up.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
Do you feel like there, you know, I'm not a big conspiracy theory kind of gal, but do you feel like there is something corrupt in the in the infrastructure, either of the investigation or some other group that ostensibly should be helping?
Okay, let me tune into that. When I'm talking to Morgan, I'm getting no, but let me see if I'd just like to do a cross validation. So let me ask the powers that be. Let me see. No, I really get a strong no on that.
Okay, good.
And by the way, and you, I mean, you know this too, but it's just like, I know some of the other cases we've worked on, it's like, you know, sometimes lack of initiative, lack of accountability, bureaucracy, incompetence, you know, can all affect performance, and I know you already know that. Alex said, no, she's not getting corruption either. The other question was that you thought that maybe she had been molested before she was picked up, and that those were two totally separate events. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let me see about that one. No, I don't get that. I just get once being raped, but let me see what she wants to say about that, because maybe there's some more information here. It's so weird. I just feel like she, I know this is odd, but I'm just getting no. She just felt, she's saying I was lonesome, I was alone, I couldn't find my friends. I'm seeing if I get anything from Alex on that. Okay, so Alex said, I think there were drunk people around her, harassed. She was harassed by drunk people. But not being molested. And Alex is writing more. While she's doing that, what other questions do you have?
Will you ask Alex if our Alex is going to be okay?
Ask my Alex if your Alex is going to be okay?
Yep. Morgan's older brother is Alex.
Yeah. Let me see. Well, when I tune into Alex, he's telling me he worships the ground that his sister walked on. And let me ask Morgan. She's saying he wants me to be real, and I am real. So, you know, maybe that's him wondering if he can really connect with her on the other side. And and he absolutely can, and I've been doing research for 12 years on this and how it works through quantum physics, and he can, and I actually teach that, classes on that. And Alex just wrote, yes, her brother. Let me see what else. She's just saying he needs time to heal, but he will. He'll be okay. She's saying he's the master of ceremonies. And also, I feel like she's really proud of him, and she's feeling like Alex and I got the same thing. He's too busy. I'm almost feeling like this is too much for him. Like she's saying maybe he needs to take some time off from school. Yeah, too busy. But he'll be okay.
Thank you.
What other... What other questions?
Well, we have somebody from Gracie. I love Gracie. From the chat room. She is asking about, and I've kind of got a question about this too. She says, is Karen talking to someone who is alive as well? I don't think I've heard that before. Or is the killer dead? Because, you know what I mean? It's like, you're speaking to him, but he's maybe still alive.
Right, right. So it's when someone's alive, it's called telepathy. And sometimes I actually have a hard time figuring out if somebody's alive or dead because it comes through the same way to me. But it all works on energy, based on energy and us being able to connect with each other's energy and consciousness, whether somebody is alive, dead, or actually even in a coma. And it's called, and you can read more about it on my website, it's called quantum entanglement or non-local communication. And that really suggests that everything energetically is interpenetrated with everything else. And you all know that, like, it's that feeling, you know, when you're thinking about someone you haven't talked to for a couple years and all of a sudden they call you on the phone. That's not coincidence. It's actually that you're communicating energetically, and we're so much more than the boundaries of our skin, that we're, you know, non-physical beings having a physical existence in a physical body, but actually, you know, it's energy, which is, you know, when you have this insight and you get the chills, or when someone's staring at you from behind and you haven't even looked at them, but you turn around and sure enough they're staring, that's all because we feel people and we feel their vibes. So yes, I do that all the time. I use telepathy. In fact, they had a kind of a fun experiment and threw me in with a bunch of poker players. And I don't play poker, and I won with my eyes closed most of the time. So so we're all telepathic. But I believe that in this case that the killer is alive.
I agree completely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask a question, Karen?
Of course.
I'm wondering, and I think maybe we did this a little bit back in February, or we talked about it anyway. Can you, speaking of tuning into live people, can you get any feel from any police types that are investigating this or have investigated it as to the current thinking or, you know, do they have anything hot that they're working on or that type of thing?
Yes. Okay. And I was just trying to do that before the show started and I ran out of time, but I know that last time, I got the hit that there was an initial investigator on the crime, and he's no longer on it anymore, or the investigation, I mean. And let me tune into the current person and see what I get there. I feel like the current person who's in charge is not feeling very positive right now. Like when I ask, is there anything really new right now, and I'm getting not a one in their mind anyway. Let me see what else I get. You know, I feel like they're not sure if they're going to be able to track this person down. I mean, really want to, but not sure. And let me see what Alex gets. I guess that the show just dropped her.
Karen, has this murderer killed other people?
I get yes.
Yeah.
And I did tune into that, and I feel I feel like it's two or three. And you know, the third one being the one where I got the woman who was raped being used as firewood, and that's one of those things. Like, okay, is that a metaphor or is that like literal? And that was the one that was most recent. But yes, Alex gets that he's raped. Oh yes, numerous women. Yep, I do get though that he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that match what you all believe?
Yes, yes. It does.
What other questions? I'm so sorry. I know that this is just so hard.
Can you tell us more about the injury?
The injury, my daughter got two or three murders as well. The injury before she was
yes.
taken or when she was murdered?
No, before.
Okay. Like how it happened, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like she was running. And then I feel like she fell into something. I don't know if there was like a fence there. And I'm hearing like she couldn't see straight. It's like this place is totally overcrowded. People were drunk. Alex is saying, and things were messy, and she fell, and that's what I got too. And the first time I kind of tuned into that, I almost felt like when we talked about it a little bit on the last call, I was almost feeling like, gosh, did she fall down on the stairs? But it's so, like, this scrape feels so significant that, I mean, it's almost like somebody, like she's trying to climb a barbed wire fence or something. She was really clouded, and I don't know, I'm trying to figure out if the clouding is, like, from falling, because it was a hard fall. Normally when someone drinks too much, I'll end up feeling woozy myself, and, so I'm not getting her just completely, you know, inebriated or anything. And I just keep getting that it wasn't intentional, you know, how she fell down, and I keep getting it was an accident.
Okay.
Karen, you mentioned earlier in response to the question from Dan and Jill about a prior incident prior to the abduction. And you said you didn't pick up any molestation, but that Morgan was being harassed or in the midst of a bunch of drunks and so forth and being harassed. Could she have been trying to escape them, trying to flee from them before things got out of hand and tried to jump a fence or ran into a gate that was closed or that type of thing? Could that be...
Yeah, that really would make a lot of sense, because what I had heard before is like she was running, and she was like trying to escape. And I think she needed air. This place is like all these drunk people, and she's being harassed, and it's, you know, wet and slippery, and she's being harassed, and she's like, she needed to get out. She needed air. She was feeling sick. She just needed to leave that crowd. Let me see if I get anything else on that. Well, she certainly is a humble one, because I said, why were you being harassed? And she said, because my body shape was different than the others. So I get that in her very humble way of saying that she, you know, she's just so beautiful. The first time I tuned into her, she just kept saying that she was always really, you know, well noticed and everything, and so beautiful that I think that that's what it was, just like, you know, sort of these sexual innuendos kinds of things.
I hate to do this, but we're out of time again. We're going to lose our stream here in just a couple of minutes. I want to make sure I'm correct now. Dan and Jill, you're going to be in touch with Karen hopefully later today and get the rest, the more specific details that she and Alex have come up with, and then you can convey them to the authorities.
Can we get a phone number off the air?
Absolutely.
Or you want to, how do you want to make our connection?
Yeah, Danny, can you just give it to Jill, and I can do it right after we hang up.
Super.
And also, for people who are listening, if they're interested in more information about how this all works, they can go to my website at karensinsight.com, and if they want to get a hold of me for a private reading, I'm also a psychotherapist, too.
Okay, hold on just a second, and I'll have the phone number for you. It's area code 303-506-6745. 303-506-6745.
Great.
And
very interesting and helpful. Thank you so much.
Please
also... You're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
When you talk to the police, the show will be available if they'd like to hear it in its entirety. It'll be available on the Blog Talk Radio website within about a half hour. So if they would like to listen to the whole thing, you can refer them to the Blog Talk Radio site, and they'll be able to play it back and listen for themselves.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Okay, thank you, and I hope this works out. I hope it develops into something. And thanks to our Director of Research, Kim Colton, the Public Relations Team at ImagePublicity.com. Our next show will be next Tuesday, April 2nd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Tune in as we continue to analyze cases that wreak havoc on families looking for answers and seeking justice and discuss crime-related topics with the experts. If you enjoyed tonight's show, please like our Crime Wire and Karen's Facebook pages. To hear a rebroadcast of tonight's show, go to www.crimewire.blogspot.com. Turn on the volume at your computer, and the show will automatically play. Until next time, God bless and good night. Good night,
Karen.
Good night, Dan and Jill. Good night, Karen.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Good night, Alex.
Good night, and thank you.